All right, if you would take your Bibles this morning, please open to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Pastor had a great Father's Day message planned for this morning. I did not. So sorry, we're not going to be on the occasion today. But I figured I'm not a father. I better not tell all you fathers how easy fathering is. Might have people throwing tomatoes at me. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 19 through 21 in a minute. I don't know if you're like me. Sometimes you sit here and you realize that God has very interesting plans. You know, sometimes I sit back and I marvel at the plans that God has. You know, not necessarily the way things are, but the things that didn't have to be the way they are, but He chose to make them the way they are. I know it's confusing, so I'll explain. For example, how about the church? God chose the church. He chose it for this age. It is His plan, and this was His mission all along for this age, was the church. And you think, you know what? Did He have to make it that way? He didn't have to. He could have chosen something else. He certainly did in the Old Testament. He didn't have the church around. And that was a plan of God that you sit back and you think, that's interesting. He chose to do it this way. One of the things that always makes me sit back and marvel is the death of Jesus Christ. If you think about, it's just fascinating to think that God sent His Son. I mean, perfect deity came down to be amongst His creation, and how He was taken to a cross, He was tortured, He was rejected, spat upon, and how He loved people that hated Him. And how they threw a crown of thorns in His head and they nailed Him to a cross and watched Him die and laughed while it happened. And you sit there and think, wow, for the only time in eternity, God turned His back on His Son. And that is an amazing thing that makes me marvel. What makes me marvel even more is that He chose to do it that way. You know, there was a time in which God said, I want to show my love to my creation, and I'm going to do it in the ultimate way and send them my own Son. You know, He didn't have to do it that way. He chose to, and once He said it, He was bound to it. But I'm telling you, He didn't have to do it that way. That was one of those plans of God that was amazing. He said, God, You did that to show me how much You love me. What a plan. I think one of the other plans, one of the most amazing plans that God has, that He didn't have to do it this way, is that He chose to use me, and He chose to use you. You realize He didn't have to do that? You know, in the end days, the rocks themselves are going to cry out. He could have done that now. He could have had all of nature sing His praise. All of nature go around telling humans, the only part of nature that doesn't follow God, He could have all of nature walking around telling us that we need to get right with God. And that we need to be saved. And that we need to get our hearts right. But you know what He chose? He chose to use me. And He chose to use you. And this is one of those plans of God that's simply incredible. He didn't have to do it this way, but He did. In your little song books there, you don't have to pull it out and look at it. But I'm going to quote a verse from one of the songs, which I think puts it very well. It says, no tongue or pen of mortal men, no angel's song above could fully tell the Savior's worth. But God in vessels made of earth can best display His love. And the songwriter is simply saying, there's no pen, there's no tongue, there's nothing that could fully describe the glory of God. But He chose to do it through me and through you. And the best way for the world to see Jesus is through me and through you. And He wants to use us. So 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 19 through 21, the Bible says this, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the Master's use, prepared unto every good work. Time out. Am I loud to you guys? Am I loud? I sound really loud to myself. I don't like hearing my voice. Is that too quiet? See, you can't give the sound guy a bad time because he's the guy who controls your fate in these situations. All right, you put your thumbs up when we got it. We got it? We're there? Is this good? Too quiet? Too loud? Just right. There you go. Give him a hand. Not really. You don't have to. Just give him a pat on the back after service. All right, back to the message. The fact of the matter is it's an amazing, amazing thing that God chose to use us. And I think if we stop and if we were to take a survey of the audience today, if you could just punch a little button in the seat in front of you and say, would you like to be used by God, yes or no? A is yes and B is no. I think we'd get a whole lot of A's. Probably everyone in the room would say, yes, I'd like God to use me. And it's a fascinating thing that he even would. But you know, God has requirements for use. There are stipulations. And if we're not willing to follow the requirements, then we're in danger of not being used. Let's pray, and then we're going to get into this, because there's some doctrine we got to correct before we get into the meat of the message here. So let's pray and ask God's blessing on the service here today. Dear Lord, I pray that you would just work in a mighty way. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be vessels unto honor. Lord, would you show us that you want to use us? Would that enthrall us? And Lord, would you help us to be vessels, Lord, that are meet for your use and put in your hand? Lord, you can do wonderful things with a yielded life. And so, Lord, I pray that you would convict this morning. Lord, would you just do a work here among us? Help us to make the decisions you want us to make and help us to obey. In your name we pray these things. Amen. All right, when you talk about a subject like being used, you've got to start out by correcting some bad doctrine. And here's the point that we've got to start with. Some people are more useful than other people. That's the point. Now, this can seem really controversial because you've got two sides of the argument that both have a little bit of truth to them. And the problem is with lies, if you have ever told a lie, the best lie is what? You've got a little bit of truth. And this is something the devil does. He tries to put a little bit of truth into these things so that they sound good, but they're really not true. So we've got two sides of this whole thing. I call it cheap grace on one side. You say, many people say, well, the fact that, or the premise, that some are more useful to God than others is against the grace of God. You're usurping the grace of God. But this is not a contradiction of God's grace. So on one side, you've got those who, what I would call, cheap grace. And they say, I can live however I want to live, and it doesn't change the fact that God can use me. I can do whatever I want to do. God's grace is big enough. Man, doesn't that sound good? God's grace is big enough. Is God's grace big enough? Yes or no? Absolutely. So that part of that is true. Yes, God's grace is big enough. But Paul tangled with this question in the book of Romans in chapter 5. He talked about grace and how the more we sin, there's more grace. In chapter 6, he opens it up and he says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And he answers and says, God forbid, absolutely not. No. So we've got on one side, we've got cheap grace. People say, you know what, I can live however I want. The grace of God's big enough. It's going to take care of all. And that's true, by the way. The grace of God is big enough, and it is going to take care of that, but it does affect the use that you have towards God. All right, so you've got that on the one side. On the other side, you have what I call free grace, and these are the people who are maybe a little more towards our stripe, a little more theological, and they would say, listen, you are as righteous as you are going to be in Jesus Christ, and you can't get any more righteous than you can be in Jesus Christ, so don't worry about it. Does that sound good? That sounds good, too. Are you as righteous as you're going to be in Jesus Christ? The answer is yes, absolutely. You are robed in His righteousness, and when you stand before the Father, He's not looking at you. If you're saved, He sees the righteousness of His Son. And that's an amazing thing. So that's partially true as well. But what they fail to take into account is that practical righteousness and positional righteousness are two different things. Positionally, I'm positioned, placed in Jesus Christ, and that is as righteous as I could ever be. But practically, that doesn't have to be fleshed out. It's like this. I gave this example in youth group a couple weeks ago. It's like this. Say I have $20 million. I don't, but let's just say I did. Do I have to live like I have $20 million? You know, people die from starvation or from dying because it was too cold in their house, because they didn't buy a heater, stuff like that, and they've got tons of money. You know that happens? Why? Because they're not accessing what they have. And so the truth about this is, in Christ, positionally, you've got everything you need. You are righteous, and practically, you've got everything you need to live that out. But it doesn't always happen. And so a couple of points that we can make from these things, I've got three little bullets here. Number one, my performance does not affect God's love for me or my eternal destiny. That it doesn't change that. The way I live my life doesn't change the fact that if I've been once saved, I'm always saved. And it doesn't mean that God loves me any more or any less if I serve Him or if I don't serve Him. We're loved completely. But it does affect the way that we're used. Also, my eternal standing is justified. I'm free, I am cleansed, but my daily use is dependent upon my moment-by-moment yielding to God. Thirdly, grace allows God to work in spite of me, but not through me. The grace of God is big enough, but I fear that what we see often in our lives is God has to kind of push us out of the way and work because we're getting in the way of what He wants to do. And so there are vessels on to honor, vessels on to dishonor. And there are some people who are more useful to God and some people who aren't. And that doesn't mean that one person is more saved than the other. Well, they're not. The eternal standing is not different. If you're saved, you are free, you're justified, you're cleansed, you've been washed. Read the Bible, it's all in there. But your use is dependent upon your yielding, is dependent on what kind of vessel you are. And so we're going to look at the kind of vessels that we need to be. We've got three points this morning from this passage, what kind of vessels that we ought to be. Number one, I'd like you to look at verse number 19. We need to be a chosen vessel. Verse number 19, it says this, "Nevertheless, the foundation," "foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His." So the point here, the first point that is made, is that you've got to be in the Master's house. If you're going to be used by the Master, you've got to be in the Master's house. Now, this is not something that needs to be worked up. This is something that needs to be understood. If you are here today and you're saved, this point's down. Check it off the list. Because you're chosen. The fact of the matter is that in Jesus Christ, as a redeemed, born-again, blood-bought Christian, you are chosen by God. And you were chosen for His work. The vessel's got to be in the house. But if you've been saved, then you're already in the house. And sometimes we get this idea, well, I haven't been living I haven't been following Christ as much as I should. I haven't been living as righteously as I should. I've got to get back to that point, and then I can talk to God about using me. Listen, getting back to that point is super easy. You're already there. You never left the Master's house. You are a chosen vessel if you've been saved. If you haven't figured it out yet, identity as a Christian is just a massive deal to me. We've got to understand who we are. And the fact of the matter is, what feels like it is not always what actually is, what is reality. And the reality is that if you've been saved, you've been chosen. God ordained you to go and to bring forth fruit. He called every Christian, the Bible says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another. Every Christian's received some kind of gift, and He wants you to go and to minister that gift. You've been chosen. God's plan is to work through you. You were chosen by Christ at salvation. You were elect to all the power of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "All power is given unto me, now go." Based on that premise that I have all power as Jesus Christ, I have all power, I'm giving it to you to go accomplish what I want you to accomplish. The basis for your use is not that you're some spiritual person. It's not that you're some great person who's cleaned up your act and you gave up all those other things. That's not the basis for your use. We're going to talk about that in a minute. That's important. But the basis for your use is that Jesus Christ lives inside you. The basis for your use is that all power, the one with all power, planned to use you all along. And you've been chosen. You've been elect to all Christ's power. You've also been elect as joint heir with Jesus Christ. And that, I mean, you could preach a whole message on that. All I'd like to really get out of that at this point is simply that you're entitled to the authority of Jesus Christ the righteous. You're entitled to His authority. As seated with Him in the heavenlies, all power, He not only has all power and lives in you, but He invited you to sit up there with Him. He said, we're seated with Him, made heirs of the grace of God. And that's who we are in Jesus Christ. And because of that, I have all the authority over the wicked one that Jesus Christ has. All of it. There's no authority that Jesus Christ has over the devil that you and I don't have. He gave it to us. And so when we are thinking about being used by God, yes, there's a foe, but he's defeated. Yes, there's an enemy. If you would go on in 2 Corinthians, a parallel passage to this here in 2 Timothy, what we read, Paul talks about being used and being a vessel, and we're going to get there eventually. But after that, he goes through a list of 10 or 12 verses about all the things that have betaken him in the ministry and how much he suffered. And folks, there is a foe out there. There is somebody who hates people of God being used by God. He hates it. But you've been given the authority over him. You are entitled to the authority of Christ. Not only were you chosen at salvation by Jesus Christ, but you were also chosen to a new life at salvation. You were chosen to be sanctified. 1 Thessalonians 4:3 tells us. You were chosen to bear fruit. He ordained you to do so. John 15:5. Chosen to walk with God. Romans 5:10. Chosen to minister to those around you. 1 Peter 4:10. God didn't leave any of His children out. And this is something somewhere in the history of the church, we've gotten the idea that ministry is for the pastoral staff. Ministry is for the elders. Ministry is just for the guy who's living in the parsonage. Folks, ministry is for that man. And it's for you too. Every member needs to be involved in the ministry because God chose you. You realize pastor can't do everything? He can't. Newsflash, he can't. By the way, you can't do everything either. Guess what? I need you. And you need pastor. And pastor needs the guy sitting next to you. We need each other. That was God's plan of bringing us together. So if somebody's not filling the work that God wants them to do, then it weakens the whole thing. But the fact is that God didn't leave anybody out. He wants everyone to minister to each other. We've all been chosen, and He plans to use us all. Don't assume that ministry is someone else's job. That's not someone else's job. Yes, they may be called to a different aspect of the ministry than you are. I'm not saying that everybody's a full-time minister, but everybody is an ordained minister of Jesus Christ. He called you to do it, and you were chosen. If you're not here, if you're here today and you're not saved, then you need to get saved. That's the first step. That's the step of being chosen. But if you've been saved today, then you are chosen, and God plans to use you. So the first vessel we need to be is a chosen vessel. The second kind of vessel we need to be is a clean vessel. Look at verses number 20 and 21. It says, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor, some to dishonor. Look at verse 21. Look at this. It says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good word. The premise for our use is that Jesus Christ lives in us and that He chose us. The key to our use is being clean. This is possessing your vessel in sanctification and honor, which 1 Thessalonians talks about. We've got to understand, as Christians, we've been called to holiness. In Jesus Christ, positionally, we are as righteous as we can be. Practically, that needs to be accessed. That needs to be fleshed out. It needs to be lived out. And that holiness is lived out as I yield to Jesus and let Him do in me what I could never do if He didn't enable me to do it. And so we've got to be clean vessels. We were called to holiness. First of all, we've got to be clean from sin. How useful is a partially dirty cup? I think sometimes when we consider this point, we think, well, I'm mostly clean. There's maybe one or two things in my life that I don't really want to get right about. Maybe a couple of things that I say, God, okay, you can't really touch this, but you can have all these other things. I'm mostly clean. That's good enough. But if I brought a glass up here today and I poured pure water in it, not city water, I mean good, pure water in that glass, and put just a little bit of dirt in it, I dare say half the congregation, those of you who didn't have a lot of siblings growing up, probably wouldn't drink it. If you had a lot of siblings, it's like, it's okay, that happens all the time, you just drink it anyway. But how good is a partially dirty cup? You could have five parts water to one part dirt, and you probably wouldn't drink it. Well, how about poison? You probably wouldn't drink it. I hope you wouldn't drink it. It wouldn't do so good for you. It wouldn't be so good for you if you drank it. So listen, a partially dirty cup is as bad as a fully dirty cup. We have this false dichotomy in our minds that if we're mostly clean, that's good enough. But you know what? In Jesus Christ is light and no darkness. Not at all. Not a bit. And so when I'm walking in darkness, how much of me is walking with Jesus? Not a bit. None. Not at all. So a used vessel has got to be fully clean. We've got to be clean from sin. I've just listed four sins. I'm not covering all the bases on sins. You could preach forever on the sins of mankind. But how about our pride? Our pride often gets in the way of our use, because God resists the proud. You know, that's somebody that God says, I'd like to do something, but you're standing in the way. And he's got to push out of the way so he can work. That's the kind of person that God works in spite of and never through, is the person who's proud. How about a lack of obedience and soul winning? How's your witness? If we can't tell of the one who bought us, we can't tell of the one who paid the ultimate price for us. You know, it's an amazing thing that we've been saved, taken away from all the cares and the worries that these people go through who don't know Jesus Christ, and we don't even tell them we've got the answer. What an amazing thing. Lack of obedience and soul winning. God's going to have to work in spite of you instead of through you, because God can't handle disobedience. How about worrying? You know, you ever met somebody who's just worried about everything? They're worried about being worried even? They're just worried all the time. You know, that's not really indicative of trusting God. That's not really somebody who said, God, listen, this situation might be above me, but it's not above you. This situation is no different than maybe, I'm not saying situations aren't difficult. We've got to understand that every situation, I love, somebody worded it this way, I don't even know who it was, but everything that happens to you is placed on the desk of the Almighty and stamped with His approval. And it's true. That doesn't mean it's easy. That doesn't mean that we don't mourn or grieve. Listen, I'll tell you what. There are some circumstances going on. I can't imagine what people are going through when they lose their mom. I can't imagine. I've been experiencing that a little bit with Miss Cindy, just watching her the last few days. Doesn't mean it's easy. But you know what? God's there. And He loves you. And He cares about you. And you can trust Him. Not necessarily saying everything's going to be easy in your life. If you lose your job, that's probably not easy. But you know what? You can trust God. So the sin of worry. How about the sin of prayerlessness? We've been harping on this one since I got here. Listen, if we're not praying, if we're not meeting with God, are we really going to see God work through us? Yes, God's grace is big enough. And God can work even when we're not serving Him. But if you want to see God work through you in the way that He wants to, we've got to be clean. You know, they say that the world is yet to see what God could do with a man fully sold out to Him. And I think what we've seen for so many years is we've seen preachers and we've seen lay people and we've seen others who love the Lord and who want to serve God and who won't fully cleanse themselves. They won't say, God, You take everything. I want to be totally clean. And so God is still trying to push them out of the way and work in spite and never through. What would happen if we let God do everything He wants to do? Everything He wants to do. I had a teacher. She died when I was in the sixth grade. She's the best teacher you could ever have. She stood about 4'11". She's a little German lady. She's the best. And you didn't cross her. You just didn't do it. But, you know, it took 1 year of being in her classroom, and you're like, oh, man, this lady's scary. But after that, it was great. You know, once you establish the rules and everything, it was great. She has such a profound impact on my life. She used to tell us, she used to look at us, and she says, you know, boys, we had all boys in our class. She said, you know, boys, we've got a lot of great stories in our Christian circles. A lot of great stories about Christian people who grew up in church, who grew up and went to Christian school, went to Bible college, got away from the Lord and came back. She said, you praise God for those stories. But you know what God needs? God needs somebody who never leaves. You know what God needs? God needs somebody who never goes and tastes the world. God needs somebody who never goes out there and has to try it out. God needs someone who stays. What could God do with lives that aren't tarnished with sin? You might say, well, you don't know what's in my past. I can't do that anymore. It's too late. Well, what did Jesus tell the lady found in adultery? Go and sin no more. I mean, His mercy is new every morning. You've got a clean slate. Just go and sin no more. What God wants to do with a clean vessel. By the way, clean is inside and outside. Sometimes we think clean is all on the inside. Got to have a clean heart. Yeah, it's true. You do have to have a clean heart. But clean is outside too. You know, the world doesn't look into your cup. They don't see what's in your heart. I love when people, you talk to people sometimes about standards and they bring up the verse, well, God sees my heart. Well, it's true. God does see your heart. But you know what? I don't. One of the points of that verse, that man sees the outside and God sees the heart, is that man sees the outside. You know, I don't see your heart. And the world doesn't see your heart either. So we've got to make sure our outside looks good so it shows Jesus. Because they don't see inside our hearts. So clean is outside and inside. We've got to be clean from sin. We've also got to be separated unto God. Set aside for a special use. You find here the verse says that he's meat for the master's use. Put in his hand, clean and ready to go. This would be like your set of fine china. You know, you don't pull out your fine china when the rowdy grandkids are around. It's not a good idea. So, this is something that's special. It's something that's set apart. It's got a special task, a special purpose. And that's how we ought to be in the hand of the Father. Not bound to this world, not tied down, but meet for the Master's use. We've got to be a chosen vessel. If you're saved, that's already taken care of. We've got to be a clean vessel. If you're not clean, it's easy to get clean. Go to God and say, God, I was wrong. This is sin. I'm yielding to you. I don't want it anymore. I confess it. Wash it away. Guess what? He does it every time. You sin the next day. Guess what? He'll still forgive. Just go back. God always forgives. So you can be a clean vessel as well. If you would, turn over to 2 Corinthians. We'll end here this morning. This passage I alluded to before. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We've got to be a chosen vessel. We've got to be a clean vessel. Thirdly, finally, we must be a filled vessel. If you look at 2 Corinthians 4, verse number 7, it says this, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. You know, just as a vessel was made to be filled, we were made to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That was God's plan all along. That's what He chose. To show the world Himself, He didn't choose the rocks. He didn't choose nature, even though nature does in some way or another declare the handiwork of God. But you know the best way? God chose me and He chose you. And He chose the Holy Spirit filling us to enable us to show Jesus Christ. A vessel's not good for anything if it's not filled with anything. What's the point of having a vessel if it's not good for anything, if it's not filled with anything? We need the Holy Spirit's power. You see in the verse, the Bible says the power might be of God and not of us. We've got nothing to offer. We are not strong enough or righteous enough or powerful enough in our flesh to do anything for God. The Bible says they that are in the flesh cannot please God. There's no way. You know, Christianity is a religion, if you would, if you'll call it a religion, of I can't. Because I can't. But it's freeing. Because Jesus can. Because he's able. And because he said he would. And so it's as I yield and say, God, I'm not able to do this by myself. I don't want to trust myself. I don't want to trust my talents. I don't want to trust my skills. I want you to do something. Fill me for your service. For example, take preaching. You know, seated in here is probably, 70, 80 people here today. You know, each of you has a different need. You know, if I preached on every single need that every single one of you has, even if I knew them, we'd be here a long time. I mean, I could just start with myself and we'd be round in that clock. You know, I don't know what you're going through in your life. Some of you I've known 3 weeks. Some of you, maybe you're a first time here today, I've never even met you before. How am I supposed to know what's going on in your life? So you know what I do? I say, God, there's no way, no matter what kind of oratorical ability or anything else that you might have given me, there is no way that I can minister what you want me to minister to this people today. I can't do it. But you know, somebody knows what your needs are. And somebody called the Holy Spirit can lay things on your heart that I don't even talk about. And I hope he's doing that today. So this is the life that a Christian lives. You know, when I go soul winning, as I mentioned last week, 2 weeks ago, I don't remember, it's a scary thing to knock on someone's door and tell them that everything they believe for 40 years is wrong, 50, 60 years, and that they're on their way to hell if they don't repent. That's kind of a scary thing. So you know what I do? I say, God, would you take me out of this? Would you fill me? And would the Holy Spirit be seen here? Because I can't do this. And you know, we need to do that in everything in life. You say, God, you know what? I'm going to work today. I want to be a good testimony. Lord, you know, I can't do that. Something's going to come up. I'm going to get frustrated. Or that coworker who gets on everyone's nerves is going to sit with me today. And I'm going to get agitated. God, take me out of the equation. Holy Spirit, live your life. Jesus, live your life. Because I can't. That's the filling of the Holy Spirit. And that's the plan. We've got to get out of the way and let God do something. We've got to get out of the way and let the Spirit of God shine through us. We sang that song, A Servant's Heart. Let your love come shining through. Because you know what? I can't love the way that Jesus loves. So I need him to do it, not me. And folks, we've got to get to the place where we understand that Christianity is not a religion of me trying. It's a religion of trusting. Because he can, and I can't. And a vessel was made to be filled. We've got to get to the place where we understand, Jesus, if you don't jump in on this one, Holy Spirit, if you don't fill me, if you don't use me, then this is worthless. We need to ask for the Spirit's filling in our life. We've got to be a filled vessel. You know, the need has really never been greater. You look around in our communities, you look around in the country, in our country. I've been watching Fox News since I got here. Pastor likes Fox News. I don't understand why you depress yourself every night, you know? It's like every night. It's like so-and-so killed so-and-so. It's like, yeah, there's more liberal propaganda. Yeah, okay. Every night. Yes, okay. So we understand that. There are things in this world that are a mess. We understand. Is that surprising? I mean, the world's always been a mess. You know what this world needs is not better politics. It wouldn't hurt. But that's not the need. The need is for Christians to be used by God. That's the need of the hour. It's not Washington getting its act together. It's all of us saying, God, you've got a plan for me. You want to use me. And I want to be used by you, and I'm going to follow you no matter what it takes. You are chosen to do this. If you've been saved, this is your calling. This is not the nitty-gritty specific of what God has called you to do, but the fact of the matter is that God called every saved person to be used. That's what he called. You were chosen to do it. Marvel in the plan of God that he would use me and he would use you. Isn't that an amazing thing? You know that you know yourself better than I know you, better than anyone else knows you. And sometimes, because I know myself, I sit there and think, God, why are you spending more time on this guy? with all the problems I've got, all the things that you've got to fix, why would you spend your time on this guy? Do you know what he does? And he loves me. And he says, I got a plan for you. And I fall and he picks me up and he says, keep going, son, keep going. You know, talk about a great father. There he is. The need has never been greater, and we need vessels unto honor. Set aside sin, reserve yourself for the Master's use, and be filled with the Spirit's presence and the power of God. God's plan is so great. Join Him in it and be a vessel unto honor. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank You this morning that You chose to use us. Lord, I thank You that You didn't have to do it this way, but You chose to do it. Lord, Your plan for reaching this world is through us. Lord, Your plan for that lost family member is through us. Lord, Your plan for this church and advancing the gospel cause is through us. Lord, I thank You for that, that You chose to use us. Now, Lord, I pray that You would help in this time, Lord, with decisions be made. Lord, for some even that they want to be used. Lord, for some that they need to be chosen, they need to be saved here today. Lord, for some they need to be cleaned, and for some, Lord, they need to just ask for the filling that You would provide. Lord, I pray that You would do those things today. Lord, help us in this invitation time. Lord, we ask this in Your name. Amen.